Revelation chapter 3. This week we end our series on the seven churches of the book of Revelations. And we'll be talking about the message to the church at Laodicea. This is the one that really, I just be honest with you, I think this is where we're at in today's society. I think this is the church of America. It's the church of Laodicea. We had looked at all these other churches, and you could see, you know, when you hear about the church of Ephesus, you hear that and you say, well, Lord, you know, I can see that in this church, or Lord, I can see that in this church. The church at Laodicea is a lukewarm church at best. And honestly, I really see that's where we're at in America today. And I just pray that God would help us to catch on fire, because that was never God's will for us to be a lukewarm Christian or a lukewarm church.
Amen.
When you read in your Bibles, it's Revelations chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 14. That's quite a bit of scripture, but I want you to read along with me. It starts off at verse 14. Write this letter to the angel at the church of Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be ashamed of your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on His throne. Verse 22. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand that He is saying to these churches. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord, I have grown so much through this series of these talking about the churches in the book of Revelation. Lord, I have been convicted because I've seen things that have affected us here at the Lighthouse, Father. My heart has been grieved because I have seen things, Lord, that were not lining up to you and what you would have. Father, I've been angered, Lord, at just seeing false prophets and false teachers around this world, Father, that have misled people to believe something that was never in your word, that was not of your gospel, that it was of a different gospel. But Father, as we look at this church of Laodicea, Lord, I am saddened to see that it's where we have got to in our relationship with you in this world. Not only here, Lord, I'm afraid, but everywhere. We're neither hot nor cold. We're not on fire for you, but we're merely lukewarm. Father, I pray that you would just ignite us. Ignite a fire, Lord, that would not just be lukewarm. Where we would be excited and get out of our comfort zone and quit trying to do it our way. And Lord, just let you breathe through us. Live through us. Let us do what we were created to do, to glorify you. Father, allow me the boldness to speak this, to preach this message, Father, as you would. Lord, hide me behind your cross. It's in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
This message, I'm just going to read this message. I'm not going to get elaborate on this because this is such a powerful message. This is Jesus talking to his church. Just listen along with me. Verse 15, I know all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. You were neither hot nor cold. Do you understand what he's saying to us today? Because he's not only speaking to the church at Laodicea, he's speaking to us. He's saying, man, I wish you were either hot or cold. I wish you were really on fire for me. I wish you would get excited for me. You know, Miss Jennifer said, I like your orange shirt because it looks good on you. Thank you. It's a Denver Bronco orange. And I get excited about the Denver Broncos. But you know something? Listen to me. How many of you get excited about sports? How many of you get excited about racing? You know what I mean? How many excited about deer hunting or hunting or fishing or something like that? You know, when you hook onto a big old catfish or one of them that you think's a big old catfish, man, you can ask my wife, I will clear the bank slick out. I'm like, yeah, I got him, and I'm going over here, and I'm coming back over here. And then all of a sudden, I reel in this 2-pound bluegill. Actually, a 2-pound bluegill is something too strange. But you know what I mean? It's a big drum or a carp, and it's like, oh, I got excited for nothing. But it's just like, it was fun, wasn't it? You know, we get excited about some of the silliest things. We really do. You know what I mean? I got this guy who I've never met. He scores a touchdown, and I'm like, yeah, man, my team. And it's like, you know what? I'm not cashing checks for the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos, they don't pay me to be on their team. I just latched on to them because I like the Denver Broncos. The Lord paid for me to be on his team. You know, do you realize that?
Yes.
The Lord actually grafted me onto his team.
Amen.
He grafted me into his vine even. Amen.
Amen.
He said, son, I love you. And I said, Father, I love you. Just be my God. And I was drafted. I've got a name. Might not be on the back of a jersey, but it's on the ledger in heaven, and called the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I go before my God, he's going to say, yep, there's Chris Matthews, that little dude. Yep, come on in, boy. And I'll be excited. I'll be excited when I get up there. But here's the thing. This is something I'm learning as a 44-year-old man. And I really hope everybody, if you don't take nothing out of nothing today, take this. Does everybody listen to me real quick? You can be excited in the Lord.
Yes, amen.
You can get excited.
Amen.
Here, this side of glory.
Yep.
You know why? Let me give you a couple reasons why. And I'm just going to pull these right off the top of my head because I ain't got nothing. You're not going to hell. That's something to be excited about.
Amen.
You know what? Hell ain't a good place to be.
Amen.
Another thing. You're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
You know where Miss Bessie's at right now? We've got one son in heaven right now waiting on us. Miss Bessie's with Jesus.
Amen.
Miss Bessie, you know what? How many of you woke up this morning and you felt a little twinge in your back or a little catch in your hip or a little catch in your giddy up like that? You know what? Here's another thing to get excited about. There ain't going to be none of that in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. I got a navy knee. That's what I like to call it. They give me a bad knee from the Navy. You know what? I'm going to leave it at the pearly gates. When I walk in, I'll be high-stepping it, man. There ain't going to be no navy knees in heaven. That's something to get excited about. You know what else to get excited about? I've had some hangovers. Now listen to me, y'all. I've had hangovers, and some of y'all are going, oh, preacher, here you go again. You can't have a hangover getting high on Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Right. I get excited. I truly do. You know what I found? This is something. I'm going to give you this. You know what I get excited about? I get excited about preaching.
Amen.
You know why? Because it's with God. God give me a spiritual gift, and it's a preacher. Do you know something? I want you to know this for yourself. Every one of you has a spiritual gift.
Amen.
Every one of you. You know, a race car driver is never more excited when, except, you know what I mean, other than when he's in that race car and he's shifting gears and he's going across that finish line. He's so excited. You know why? Because that's what he was built to do. I challenge you today, Lighthouse. What did God build you to do? Do you want to be excited? Do you really want to be this jacked up on Jesus and this so stinking excited you can't even, you just want to pee on yourself like a little puppy? Find out what God built you to do and do it.
Amen.
It's that simple. God built me to preach. I love to preach. You know, some people say, well, I hate to get up here and do this. You know what? The day that I hate to get up here, I won't get up here. It's like, Brother Keith, you're going to have to take it this Sunday because I can't do it. Because I'm not supposed to be up here. But God gave me, I get excited about preaching. I really do. And the more I do it, the more I want to get done. You know what? Hey, can you come over here and preach Tuesday? Yep. Wednesday? Yep. Thursday? Yep. I'll preach all, I preach to her all night. Don't know Denise. I preach to Miss Denise 7/24/7. Miss Kristen back there, does Daddy preach to you? Amen. That's being on fire. That's what he's saying right here. He says, I know all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. You're just lukewarm. You know what a cold Christian looks like? It's a backslidden Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was there. And nobody, you couldn't even look at me and tell I was a Christian, honestly. You know what I mean? Just like, really, you're a Christian? I was cold. But you know what happens when I'm cold? You know what happens to a backslidden Christian? They're convicted of their sins.
Yep. Amen, brother.
They're convicted. They feel like crap.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I may be able to do these things, but I'm going to pay for it. The Holy Spirit, because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. I'm going to go there here just in a minute, because the Holy Spirit said, here's what the Bible says. Let me just go there right now. It says, verse 19, I correct and discipline everyone that I love. Oh, King Jimmy said, I chasten thee, right? If you belong to him, you're not going to get away with this stuff. You're going to feel bad.
Amen.
If you don't feel bad, then you need to check yourself. Make sure. Because you can get saved anytime. You just say, Lord, save me. You know what I mean? It's not just that easy, but you know what I mean? You can be saved anytime. But here's a good determining factor. If you're not feeling bad for the sins that you're committing, then you're probably not saved.
Amen.
When I was in a backslidden state, when I would do something, I would feel bad.
Yeah,
and
I
know.
Yeah.
But I've never had Jesus hangover, but sometimes I think I'm close. When you're cold, he can work with a cold person. You know what I mean? He can fix a cold person.
Yeah.
When you're hot, you're on fire. He's how you want you. But lukewarm? Let me show you something. This is a bad interpretation, and all of them do this. The original word, when you go back to the original, when it was written in Greek, it says, it doesn't say spit. I think they try to make it sound better. Spew. It means vomit.
Vomit.
You make me sick. That's what he's saying. He says, I wish you were either hot or cold because you make me sick. These words are in red. Who's saying this?
Jesus.
Jesus is saying, I know all the things that you do and you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It makes them sick when we are just one or the other. He's like, I wish you were hot and on fire for me, or I wish you were just cold so I could convict you to where you could get off your butt, but you're just lukewarm. He goes on to say, you say I am rich. I have nothing I want. That's the problem here in the United States a lot of times, is even our poor people are not poor. My poor people, you know, it's like, I got my cell phone. You know what I mean? Or my food stamps in? Let me call on my cell phone. There's nothing that we need here. That's why you're seeing thousands. I said something this morning at Sunday school class, and everybody looked at me like, are you crazy? There are more Christians in China.
Yep.
You realize that? There are more Christians in China than there are in the United States. Why? Because they're on fire.
So lukewarm?
They're on fire. They're not lukewarm. They're not cold. They're on fire. They're like, what? You're telling me that I can be in heaven forever and none of this is up? I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to have a dictator who can cut my head off. You know what I mean? They're on fire. They're on fire. Jesus is saying, you make me sick because you're just lukewarm. I wish you were one or the other. You say, I am rich. I have need of nothing. Everything I have, everything I want, I have. I don't need anything. And Jesus says, and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't realize how bad off you are. What do you mean, Brother Chris? I mean that you don't realize how bad we are here in this country. We really don't. We don't realize how bad we are in this church or in ourselves. We think, you know what? I'm not a bad person. You know, I give. And when the little dude, because it's fixing to be Christmas time, they ring the bell. I mean, I give. Man, when we have a canned food drive here at the lighthouse, I bring pork and beans. And I feed the hungry. The Bible tells me that all of my righteousness is like filthy rags. There's nothing good in me but Him.
Amen.
Honestly, and if you will be truthful with yourself, you know, let's get real here. When we do something good for somebody else, don't we really, what we're really saying is, look what I done for them. Or you're wanting something back from it. Can you be honest with yourself? Because that's our sin nature. There's really nothing that good about us. Especially in a lukewarm state. At least when you're cold, you're just like, you're happy, you know, you're just doing joy. And when you're on fire, you're trying to give glory to Him. But in a lukewarm state, there's really nothing good about us. And it makes Him sick. That's what He's telling us here. He says, it makes me want to vomit. You know, we've looked at every one of these churches. And we've drawn something about it. Let's really, this one here should just hit us home. Hit us square between the eyes. Because guys, we're just so lukewarm here. You know, but I really do see that if we were really on fire for Jesus, we would understand that the majority of people in the United States will die and go to hell. The Bible says the path is narrow. It's not a big, broad highway. It's narrow. Most people are not going to get this. Most people are going to be the Burger King Christianity. They're going to want it their way in a certain amount of time. You know what I mean? They want it just like you used to get your Whopper. I'll get it my way. No. Jesus says it's His way. It's how I want it. It's His way. Well, we can't have it our way. We can't just be, oh, hey, amen, brother, and all this on Sunday morning, and then walk out the door, and it's just like, well, that's church. That's my church part. That's my church, Chris. So here's what we got. We got a work, Chris. I got big shoulders, I can handle it. We got a work, Chris. Then we got an at-home, Chris, because it's really not easy to live this at home. Amen? It's really not easy to live this at work. Amen? It's really not easy to live this at Walmart. Kmart. Forks Grocery. It's really not.
School.
Amen? And then you got your church. And that's what He's talking about. He said, you're lukewarm. And it makes me sick. I would rather you would just be who you are. If you're cold, then just be cold. If you're hot, then be hot everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
But don't act like a lukewarm Christian. You know why he said this to the church at Laodicea? It's because they were a very rich community. They lacked one resource, water. And the Romans had to get aqueducts. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're like a pipeline.
Yep.
It's like the big arches like that, and they run water to them. Part of the water comes from a hot water spring, and another one comes from a fresh spring. A fresh spring, you can go and you can get revived, right? You jump in the water down here, John, we're fixing this game. It's pretty reviving down there, wasn't it? Hey, how many of you have been baptized since you've been here? I've been in there a bunch. That's some refreshing, reinvigorating water, is it not? Amen? It's cold. Then when you know, like me and my wife, we love a hot bath. You know what I mean? And you get that, and it's just like you get something from it. You get right. But like a lukewarm, how many of you love a lukewarm hot or lukewarm cup of coffee?
No.
No? How many of you love a lukewarm bath? No. Lukewarm is useless. That's the water that they got at Laodicea. It wasn't hot and it wasn't cold. It was lukewarm. That's why he's speaking to them. It made them sick and it makes him sick. And he wishes that we wouldn't be like that. You know who he built us to be? He built us to be who you are.
Amen.
Don't try to be somebody else. Just be you. Just be you. It's that simple. God built you. Do you know that? God built every one of you. He formed you in your mother's womb before you even were born. He knew who you were going to be. He built you a certain way to do certain things. And he's asking you right here, I wish you were hot. You know what? I wish you were cold rather than lukewarm, because then I could work with you. But you've got to understand that you're broke before I can fix you. A field's got to be plowed before you can plant. If you don't think that you're broke, then you'll never be fixed. You understand that? It's that simple. And in this country, we don't think we're broke.
No.
It's all about me anyway. I have no problems. You've got a big problem. I do too. It's called sin. Sin is a baffling thing. It is all to everyone. Well, it's just a little bit of this, or it's just a little white lie. They'll never miss that anyway. They don't need it. Them people are rich. They don't need that. I'll just take that. I need it. Because we're you know what I mean? It's just a little bit. It's just a little. See, that's how sin works. Sin just eases right in there. You know, the thing that we have a hard time seeing is just like in the Garden of Eden. You know, we think it was a snake. That snake was beautiful. A snake will scare you away, right? If Adam and Eve were sitting, you know, and Eve comes up there and that snake was like, here, this, what? Is that really what God said? Did he say you really couldn't say that? He was a beautiful creature. Sin will just suck you right in. It's beautiful sometimes. And it feels good sometimes. But it always leads to death. It always leads to death. Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Not only death, but the second death.
Spiritual
death. A separation from all that is good, from all life, from all, and that's hell. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you. Listen to me. He says, buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by what? By fire. By the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then you will be rich. Also buy garments. And here's what he's saying. If you need this gold, we put so much money, we put so much influence, emphasis on gold. Gold money, right? Money is gold. Our gold really doesn't mean anything. We don't realize we have everything that we want here, right? Pretty much. I mean, you know, even the poorest person in the United States, they have a place to stay. There's government apartments. You can get your place to stay. You got food stamps. You'll have something to eat and a roof over your head. Right? Water's pretty much for free. They'll subsidize your bills and your electricity and your this and your that. You know what I mean? Then you can get a... You understand what I'm saying? You really don't need anything. That's what your physical needs. But it's not all physical. It's not all physical. It's spiritual. It's spiritually you're dead. Spiritually you're dead and you don't realize it. He says, I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by the fire, then you will be rich. Also, buy these garments of white. But that purified gold, you know what? You know what you can buy? You know what money can't buy? Them greenbacks? I don't have a dollar on me right now. But you know what a greenback can't buy? Money can't buy me love.
Nope.
And money can't buy me happiness. But Jesus is saying, because these words are in red, he says, I advise you to take this gold that has been refined by the Holy Spirit. I'm just putting that in there. But has been refined by the fire. then you will be rich. You know, I've been broke. I ain't got a dollar on me right now. So I am broke, right? But I'm rich. You know why? Because I have Jesus in my heart.
Amen.
I have a mansion that is built in heaven. I've got something that's better than Obamacare. I'm going to get a new body.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying here.
An inheritance.
Amen. There you go. See how that's... And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind. You know what? It doesn't matter if I'm poor here because I'll be rich there. It doesn't matter if I'm blind here. I can see that.
Amen.
I tell you what I seen. I don't know where I seen this, but it was a father who had, his son was in a wheelchair. And he had built a gravestone that was his son, and it showed the wheelchair, and his son stepping up out of it like this.
Amen.
Reaching toward heaven. Because that's truly what happens.
Yeah.
If you're poor, blind, and all that, it doesn't matter. Because this is just a vapor. This is a short time. Amen. Because in heaven, we'll all be rich. We'll walk on streets of gold.
Amen.
That tells you the currency exchange rate in heaven.
Amen.
You know what I mean? The gold that we just worship and all this stuff, it's what we walk on in heaven. He says, I advise you, buy my gold. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be ashamed of your nakedness. So you will not be ashamed of your nakedness. What does he mean by that? So you will not be ashamed of your nakedness. How many of you would come to church naked? Just a quick. Not one of you, huh? Why? Because you're ashamed, right? That would make you ashamed, would it not? That's why you cover yourself up with clothes. Why? Why did Adam and Eve? They walked around, and I'm just going here. They walked around with nothing on in heaven. They walked with the Lord, right? Because there was no sin. There was no sin. You know, in heaven, I don't know that we'll have clothes. We won't need them. There'll be no sin to make us feel like we've done something wrong. Do you know what he's saying to you right here? How many of you feel guilty sometimes for your past and transgressions? I do. Do you know what I can do? I can put that white robe on, because you know what happens with the blood of Christ when it's justified and applied to your life? Those past things that you've done, they're gone. You've got nothing to be ashamed of. You understand what I'm saying? You've got nothing to be... Thank you, Lord. You know, I've done some pretty wretched things in my life. I'm not that... Y'all look at me and you say, Pastor, this... You're like, man, I'm just a sinner. There's nothing good in me but Him. There really isn't. But I have been washed. I have been clean. I am a new person. The person that done that stuff, Barb, is no longer here.
Yes. Amen, bro.
If any man be in Christ, he is what?
New creature.
He is a new creature. He is a new creation. Yes. The old Chris, all those things have gone. They're gone.
Amen.
And I've accepted that white robe and put it on, and I'm a new person. You know what? Hey, Chris, you remember when? Yeah, but Jesus don't.
Yes.
And I don't have to be ashamed of that.
Amen.
He forgive you. This is just free. Forgive yourself.
Amen.
Those things that you're ashamed of, don't be ashamed of those. That mess, this is a new one. This is not a new one. This is something I've used all the time. My mess is what I try to make my message. You understand what I'm saying? Those things that I've really screwed up in my past, the things that I've done, and I try to use that to reach people in that same boat. I try to use my mess to be my message. Let's go on and read. I don't want to hear what I say. Let's hear what the Lord says. Verse 19. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference, your apathy. He corrects and chastens. You know what I mean? You know what? This is pretty simple. You know when I walk through Walmart and my kids are acting up, I will bust their rear end. But you know what? If I walk through Walmart and your kids is acting up, those are your kids. It's your time to go. It's your time to do it. There's some of those kids in Walmart I really want to buzz. You know what I mean? There's a lot of them I'd really like to reach in and I'd be like, for the glory of God, bust your rear end. But it's not my job. It's not my job. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Leah, it's my job. Kristen, it's Daddy's job. Keegan, yep. Renee, Shelly, it's my job. So y'all got it covered. And it's my job. Why? Because you belong to me. The Lord says, how many of you, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, I will. How many of you belong to the Lord? You will get yourself taken to the woodshed.
Yes,
you
sir.
Wrong.
Amen. Loves.
You won't get by with it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides in you.
Yes.
And be thankful of it.
Yep.
Amen. Be thankful of it. Why and what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about if you do something that is not a sin, which is sin is missing the mark. He will correct you. He will discipline you. Kristen is a pretty good kid. Okay, let's go to Keegan, because he just all kind of went off the track. I remember, we got a call from the school one time, and Keegan was going to buy everybody's lunch because he had a $100 bill. Where do you think he got that $100 bill?
Oh.
I had a daddy's wallet. Oh, I was all kind of upset. Did I go to Elmer? Did I go to you and say, will you whoop Keegan? No. Tom, did you get a call from Brother Chris and say, will you come and whoop Keegan? No. Did any of y'all get that call? You know why? Because it's my kid. That's my son. I love him. Y'all know I love my son. Look here. Yeah, I know. I'm not advertising tattoos, but I'm saying I put him on me. I love my son. The only one that's going to carry on my name. But you know what I done? Oh, I all kind of busted his rear end. Why? Because it is my job to teach him what it really means to be a man. It's my job to teach him that stealing is not the way to go. It is my job to teach him that some other man worked for that. It's his. He worked for that, and it's not yours.
How long did it take you to get it back?
Oh, I got it back. He hadn't spun it. He hadn't spent it yet. But I'm also the one, I had my neighbor come down and dig a hole, and I'd give my son, when he would get in trouble, I'd give him a shovel and say, here you go. You got an hour filling that hole. How long did it take him to fill that hole? Why? He knows that if you do something wrong, that there are consequences to it. And that leads me to the end of my sermon. I need you to know something. God loves us. And if you belong to Him, He will correct you. Verse 20. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on His throne. Do you know how Jesus was victorious? Do you know what Jesus is talking about? He was victorious on the cross. He died, was buried, and 3 days later He arose.
Amen.
That's how He was done. And He's inviting you. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. He's a gentleman. He's knocking. He's not kicking the door in. He's saying, hey, this is what I've done for you, and this is what I'm offering. Look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice, how many of you heard that voice? Oh, I heard it, and it was a pretty big knock. I could feel that knock. It was like he, you know what I mean? When he knocks on your heart. You know, some, if you've not been saved, you don't know what I'm talking about, but when you've been saved, you understand. It's just like he's in there. It's like boom, boom, boom. He's knocking on my heart. He's truly knocking on my heart. And he's saying, and I hear the voice say, open the door, and I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on the throne. If you have taken that, if you've accepted what Jesus has done for you, a lot of people will take offense to that, accepting what Jesus has done for you. But that's truly what He done. You didn't do anything to deserve that. Really? Read about the crucifixion. Let me just tell you a little bit about it, a little poquito. He was nailed to that cross after He had been beaten beyond recognition, His beard pulled out, spit on, beat on. Didn't have no hardly any blood left in Him. He was on that cross with that crown of thorns on His head. He didn't deserve that. He didn't even sin. He done that for you and I. And He said, you want to be a part? He said, I've paid your sin debt. You know what that means? He paid our sin debt. The sins of the world were poured out on Him. That's the part that I can't get my head around. Because I felt bad for doing some bad things. But all of that was poured on Him, and all of yours was also. Those who are victorious will sit with Me on My throne, just as I was victorious and sat with My Father on His throne. You know, when Stephen was stoned, Jesus stood up and He was at the right hand of the Father. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have, in turn, be able to sit in victory and share a meal. There'll be a big meal and a big celebration in heaven. And those who answered that door when Jesus was knocking on your heart will be there with us. He ends here to this letter with the church. He spoke to all these churches. He spoke to the church at Sardis and Philadelphia and Smyrna and Pergamon and Ephesus. And then He ends with this. He said, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to these churches. Church, what He's saying to these churches is, I've already done it. I've already paid the price. Come, listen to that knock on your heart. Let Me in. Take of that gold that He talks about. Put on that white robe. Our God is able to save every one of us. Our God is faithful. He is loving. I love my Lord, but I don't know that I'm always on fire for Him like I should be. And that's my prayer for myself, that I could be more on fire, that lukewarmness would just somehow, I could get away from that. And there are parts in our lives, as Denise prepared an invitation for us. I think this is where the Lord wants to talk to us. There are parts in our lives, whether it be maybe your school, your home, with your family, your work. There are different portions of your life that you don't look like Christ as much. That you're not on fire for Him. Where in your life? Because here's what it is. We can read all of this, but if we don't apply it, then it's not doing you any good, right? What part of your life are you lukewarm at? Is it here at church? Is it at home? Is it at work? Where are you not on fire for the Lord at? Pray and ask the Lord to help you with that. If you're not saved, come forward. If you're saved, hey, we got baptized in after church. If you've not become a member of the Lighthouse, you know what? The Lord wants you to be a member of a local body of believers. That's what the church is a body of believers. He wants you serving in that church, advancing His kingdom. Not just a lukewarm Christian. When we say it's all about a relationship with Jesus, that's what we mean. Because it's a part of your life. It's a part of your life that you have, every one of us, There's something in me that I need to get rid of, that needs to be refined by that fire and just burn it away to where I have more love, more I'm on fire for Him. Whatever it is, make that decision for Him today. Ms. Denise, would you come forward and lead us in our invitation? Would everybody stand and just bow your heads and let's ask the Lord to just maybe there's a something in our lives, each and every one of us, I think if we're honest, that we're not lining up with Him for. Your kind and gracious Heavenly Father.